Well, hey, Grace Family Church, it is so good to see you. And hey, everybody, it's good to see you, all the people who are joining us online this weekend. And of course, all of our campuses right here at Van Dyke. We have our Land O'Lakes campus, our Temple Terrace campus, our Ybor campus, Waters, and of course, South Tampa, where I'm the campus pastor. What's up, everybody? Man, so glad that we are able to be together as we close out this third week of this Essential Series. And if you've been here, then you know the first week, Pastor Hal kicked it off talking about sanctification, which is the process of us continuing to grow in our relationship with Jesus. It's that sanctification as he works some things out of us. Last week, Pastor Ralph did a great job talking about serving and just how important that is, and then also hitting on how we get involved in groups. We did a big group push that week. And I would just say this. If you did those things, if you served on a regular basis, and if you got into community this year, I believe the work, the sanctification work that God is going to do in your life is going to be amazing, and you will see a difference. You will see a difference next year if you just decide this year I'm going to engage in these, because the spiritual growth that you'll experience will be incredible. So what we're going to do this week, we're actually going to hang out in that serving zone, and this weekend we're going to talk about where to serve. Because honestly, it's easy to stand up on the stage and go, everyone, we need to serve. And as a pastor, it's something that we do quite a bit. We want to help you get involved in serving. But sometimes trying to figure out exactly where to serve, that can be a little bit confusing. That's kind of like when I went on my honeymoon. My wife and I have been married 15 years. And when we went on our honeymoon, we went to Hawaii. And it was an incredible thing. We did a luau there. We hiked up Diamond Head. We hung out on the beach. But one of the things we wanted to do is we wanted to try out surfing. Because, of course, you're in Hawaii. You got to try out surfing. We're on this coast of Florida. Not a lot of surfing unless there's a storm. And so we're like, let's try it out. Let's go through it. So we booked surfing lessons. We wake up early one morning. We get ready. And we go out. And we meet our surfing guides. Surfing guides are basically these really in shape, young. There's a reason why I'm telling you that, but surfing guides, and they're going to teach us how to surf. And so we go out there, and the way they do it is you lay on your surfboard, you have to paddle out, and then you turn around, and then the guide will tell you, go, whoever the surfing instructor is, go. And when you start to paddle into shore, they kind of give you a little bit of a push on your surfboard to help you catch the wave as you go through it. Now, I know what you're thinking. Looking at me, you think, wow, he must have done really good at surfing. Because he looks coordinated. I'm tricking you. I am not coordinated. I'm 6'4" with a high center of gravity, and I did not do well. In fact, the whole time, I would stand up, and as soon as I stood up, I would almost immediately fall down. In fact, I asked my wife, I said, hey, do you have any pictures of when we went surfing? I'd love to show it this weekend, and this is the best one. That's me falling down right there. That's it right there. That's the best surfing. That proved that I went surfing, but I did nothing. So I kept getting up and falling down and getting up and falling down. And I was on the board, because you'd have to paddle back. I was on the board so much, I got seasick. And so I get sick laying on the surfboard, and I realize, okay, I'm terrible at this. I'm getting sick out here. I can't do it. So I paddle over to my surfing instructor. I'm like, hey, you know, again, this young guy, hey, I can't do this. I just got sick. I need to go in. And when I told him I got seasick, like I need to go in, he looked at me like, yeah, right. You didn't get sick. You're just terrible at this. Get out of here. And so I did the paddle of shame, where I paddled back to shore by myself, leaving my new young hot wife to hang out with the young hot surfing instructors. And I'm sitting on shore watching them, you know, at their pleasure, teach my young hot wife how to surf. And let me show you a picture of her when she surfed. This is the picture of her. You see the guy right there? She's high-fiving him. She is so good at surfing, she high-fives people when she surfs. She was that good at it. You know what I realized? Surfing's probably not my sport. That's probably not my thing. When it comes to serving within a church context, not everything is going to be for you. There are going to be certain things that you're like, hey, I'm going to try it out. And honestly, it's going to feel like you get up and then you just fall down. It's not all for you. So for us, we want to help you figure out where it is to serve, because in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Like, God has actually made you with gifts, and he wants you to use your gifts to serve others. God has made you on purpose and for a purpose. He has a purpose for you. And if you doubt that, let me just say this. I believe that the enemy, the devil, one of his tricks is to steal, kill, and destroy. And sometimes he will try to destroy us by putting sin in our way, but sometimes he'll try to destroy us by distracting us from our destiny. And for some of us, we don't even believe we have a destiny anymore, that God doesn't have any more for us, because Satan has been working to try to trick us and distract us and get us to a place where we begin to believe there's nothing more for us. But you were made on purpose and for a purpose. And God has a purpose for you. And he's given you gifts. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And it says in verse 27, now you, speaking of us as Christians, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. We as the church, especially we as this local church, we are a part of this local body. And when it comes to our physical body, the effectiveness of our physical body has everything to do with each part working. In fact, if you've ever injured a part of your body, or if you've ever been paralyzed in a part of your body, you're disabled, you're handicapped. And as a church, our efficiency and effectiveness in this community has a lot to do with all of us deciding that we are going to play our part in the body. We are not going to disable this local body of Christ. We're actually going to allow God to use us so that he can move in the Tampa Bay community. That God wants to do something special in this community, and he wants to use you to do it. You're a part of that. You're a part of this local body. Now, the question is, okay, but where do we serve? Which is what we're going to talk about this weekend. Where we can actually get plugged in and serve. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do, okay? Because you may not naturally take notes or normally take notes, but this is going to be a very practical, tactile message. And so I want you to pull out your phones, okay? Usually put your phones away during church, pull out your phones during church, and you can go to the GFC Florida app, or you can take it in notes. But I'm going to ask you five questions, and I want you to write down and take notes on these five questions so that you can figure out, where am I supposed to serve? Where am I meant to serve? Okay, so five questions to find what you are made for. Okay, five questions. The first question is this: who do I have a heart for? Who do I have a heart for? When you're trying to figure out where to serve, what you're made for, who do I have a heart for? Is there a people group that I feel particularly drawn to? Like, who do you feel drawn to? About 10 years ago, I was working at a church down in Fort Myers, and they came to me and said, and I was an associate pastor, and they said, hey, we don't have a small group leader for middle school boys. They said, can you do it? And they were in a pinch. And I said, yeah, I think I can. And so I led this small group for middle school boys. And the first activity, we had these spaghetti sticks and marshmallows. And basically, you were supposed to stick them all together to try to see how big of a tower you could build with spaghetti sticks and marshmallows. I told the guys what to do. I said, all right, guys, we are going to win. We're going to build the biggest tower possible. Take the spaghetti sticks and the marshmallows, stick them all together, and let's see how tall we can. Great, you got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I walked away for about 4 minutes. And I came back expecting, like, the tower. And I looked, and there was no tower. And I walked over, and I saw them stepping on the ground. And I said, what are you doing? They said, okay, we're not doing the tower, but we're trying to see if we can get the marshmallows so ingrained in the carpet that it looks like no one knows they're there. I'm like, what? Yeah, it's fun. Try it. I said, okay, guys, everyone, stand up against the wall. Just line up. Okay, now sit down. And about a minute later, they go, what are we doing now? I said, nothing. You're going to sit there until your parents come, because I don't want to beat any of you. So you're just going to stay there, okay? I do not have a heart for middle school boys, okay? Don't have a heart for it. You don't have a heart for everybody? I don't have a heart for middle school boys. I love kids ministry. I think if I sat down, I could convince you we are laying a foundation for the next generation. We've got to do it. Okay, I'm all that. High school, yes, they're living it out. And I don't know why. There is no grace in that. Like I don't, that it doesn't live. It doesn't exist. Don't put me with them. I have a middle schooler, and I love my middle schooler. I don't love your middle schooler. I love my middle schooler, okay? But who do you have a heart for? Who do you have a heart for? Maybe for you it's an age group. Maybe it's babies, it's kids, it's preteens, teenagers. Who do you naturally strike up a conversation with? Maybe it's a stage of life. Maybe it's single moms, those who are abused. Maybe it's a young family or someone who's kind of held back or downtrodden or they're going through something. Maybe it's somebody with a certain struggle. They have an addiction or they have some health issues, so they're trying to get healthy or they're being held back. But who do you feel, or who do you have a heart for? Who do you feel drawn to? Here's a good clarifying question for this. If money were not an option, okay, and you could quit your job and help people, who would you help? Who would you help? Who, if you could quit tomorrow, who are the people that you would go to help? That's just a good clarifying question. So the second question is, what am I passionate about? What am I passionate about? Where does my passion lie? In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, his followers, and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And Jesus doesn't say there is no yoke, and Jesus doesn't say there is no burden, but it's light. Why is it light? I believe one of the reasons why when we follow after God and do what he calls us to do, the reason why it's light is because passion makes hard things easy. Passion makes hard things easy. You talk to any of the people at your campus who lead with middle schoolers and you go, okay, how are you guys here? Like, how does this work? You know why? Because passion makes hard things easy. In fact, if you kind of just turn around and look back on the tech booth, we all have tech booths at the back of our campus, they get here earlier than anyone. They get here early all weekend long before anybody else gets here. And you know what they do? No one ever sees them. No one ever talks to them. And you can think, man, like, why would you guys get here so early and make this happen? Because there's a passion. They know that there are people who come in every weekend and they're open and giving God one last shot and give them a chance. And the people who serve in our tech area know we get to create this environment and environments at all of our campuses to create a place where people come in and they experience Jesus. And if you talk to them, there's passion there. There's passion there. That's good. Yes, let's give it up for our tech team. They don't even want us to look at them right now, but let's just give it up for them. What am I passionate about? Passion makes hard things easy. Passion moves and motivates us. Passion is that thing, it just causes your heart to race a little bit. God wants us to serve in the area where we feel that passion. Because if we do that, we'll love it. And if we do what we love, we'll love what we do, and we'll serve that way. Because God's heart is not, hey, you need to serve in the church. And man, I hope you hate it. That's not what God wants. In fact, as a church, we don't want that. We want you to serve in an area where there's passion, where you love it, where you enjoy it, because we know that when people experience a kids ministry where people are passionate, they experience greeters who are passionate, they experience worship people who are passionate, then that makes all the difference. We want you to serve in the area of your passion. Here's a good clarifying question. If you're like, I don't know within the church, like, where am I passionate? Here's the question. When someone asks you why you attend Grace Family Church, what do you start with? Like, why do you go there? Like, why do you go to that church? Do you talk about how friendly it is? Man, they're just so friendly there. Oh, the worship is incredible. All the, like, what's the area? The kids ministry is amazing. And, oh, you should see what they do with their men's ministry. Like, what's the area that you talk about first? That indicates passion. And passion helps determine direction. So what are you passionate about? The third question is, what do I do well? What do I do well? And this is a good question that has to be asked when you're looking at it. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In other words, God has given us the gift and the gifting to do good works. And this is important in a church scenario because a lot of people have passion, but they don't have gifting. For example, I am very passionate about singing, but do you know why I'm not on the worship team? It's because I'm not a very good singer. But if I was, I would spin around and you guys would lift up your hands and dance and it would be amazing. But I don't because I'm not a good singer. That's why, okay? And it's important to ask, what am I good at? Here's another way to ask it. What is something that people compliment you on except for your mom? Okay, because we've all seen American Idol where it's like, oh, poor kid didn't have a mom that loved him enough to tell him he's not good. But you know who told him? Simon Cowell. Like that didn't happen. And because there are areas you can be passionate about, but if you're not good at, you know what you call those things? Those are hobbies. If you love it, but you're terrible, it's a hobby. So for me, I don't sing on our worship team. You know where I do sing? I sing at home all the time. In fact, I sing walking my kids to school in the morning because I ask them, hey guys, they're 11 and 13. What song do you want me to sing today? Dad, don't. Dad, don't sing. Dad, don't sing. Dad, don't sing. And they're like, Dad, stop. Stop it. Stop it right now. It's a hobby. I do it all the time. I make up songs every day. I don't know if my kids are morning people because I don't give them a chance because I'm singing before they can be. That's just the way it is, okay? Because I'm passionate about it, but I'm not good enough to be on the stage with it. So what are you good at? The reason why this is important to ask is because if you can figure out your passion and then you can figure out what you're good at, think about this. And if you can just line these up, like this is not just good to serve. This is a good career move. If you can figure out something that just gets you going, but you also have skill around it, make that your career. Make that your job. If you're in college trying to figure out your major, take time to think about those two things. Where am I passionate and where am I naturally skilled? Line those things up. That's what you want to do the rest of your life. And that's where we want to serve. And we want people in the church to be passionate about it and to be good at it. And so what do I do well? What do you enjoy and what are you good at? The fourth question then is, what bothers me? What bothers me? In the Old Testament, there's a story of a guy named Nehemiah. And Nehemiah heard about his the hometown of Jerusalem. Their walls had been knocked down, which in that day basically meant they were indefensible. They couldn't do anything. And everyone knew about it. In fact, the nation of Israel knew about this. And yet he was the one that was bothered by it. It actually says in Nehemiah chapter 1, he says, when I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. He said, for some days I mourned and I fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And it bothered him. He sat down for days and he mourned and he fasted. What's the thing for you that you just can't shake? What's the thing that bothers you? Where other people, it doesn't seem to bother them this much, but for some reason it bothers you. Like you've almost had to shut it down because it just messes up your day when you hear about it, when you see it on the news, when you see it on social media. It just stays with you. It just bothers you. It just messes you up as you go through it. One of the areas for me that it bothers me is when I see disengaged men. When I see men who are not engaged in their marriage and I see men who are not engaged with their kids, there's something in me, it just bothers me. Because I know, and let me tell you the reason why, and it's going to come out a little bit just so you know, it's going to come. The reason why it's such a big deal is because men, fathers, your words create the identity for your kids. Your words, your ability to speak life for some reason, fathers, your voice is louder with your kids. And so, men, we should be speaking life and truth. We should be looking at our kids every day and telling them we're proud of them. We believe in them. They're amazing. Even if they're not living the lives that they should be living, we should be looking at them even as our adult kids and go, hey, no matter what, I love you. I'm with you. I'm here. As fathers, we should be doing that. In our marriages, when I see a marriage that where the guy has just basically said, yeah, that's not really my deal, I believe God has called men to fight. Like, he's put that fight in you, men. He doesn't want that to go away. There is a fight in you for a reason, that you should be the one. If your marriage gets a little bit off and it's not working and things aren't okay and it just seems tough, he has put that fight in you, men, to actually stand up and decide, I am going to fight for this. And we should be fighting for those things, okay? That bothers me. I don't know if you can tell, that bothers me. And I just want to sometimes just shake people because I'm just, and I'm trying to figure out how can we do better at that, because that's what bothers me. Well, what bothers you? What's the thing that keeps you up at night? What's the thing that messes you up? There's a phrase that Pastor Doug Otto, who's here at Grace Family Church, reminded me of. It's called holy discontent. Where is your holy discontent? Like, where is that thing messing you up? And I would encourage you with this. Right now, man, there is so much happening on social media where people are fighting. Listen, don't lend your fight to small stuff. Don't lend your fight to things that people are trying to pull you into. Listen, there's so much going on, it doesn't matter. There's so much going on. Listen, fight for what God is trying to do on the earth. Fight to, like there is so much more to give your fight to. Don't get caught up in petty fights. Don't argue with someone on social media. You're not going to change their mind. Don't try to change their mind. Listen, don't worry about that stuff. Go, God, what fight would you have me fight? What bothers you? What messes you up? And this may, honestly, it may be rooted in your past. It may be something in your past. I think part of the reason why I'm so, like, passionate about disengaged fathers is because my parents got divorced. My dad wasn't around a lot when I was younger. He's great now, but when he was younger, he wasn't. I think that's part of my passion. So maybe your past has created that thing that bothers you that, man, I can't, that something happened in your teenage years. Maybe you need to go serve with the students. Maybe as a kid, you need to go serve with the kids. Like, what's that thing that just messes you up and it just bothers you? And I would also say this, that thing that bothers you, it may be what bothers you about the church. Like, is there an area when you walk in, it just kind of, like, you wish it was different or you wish it was better? Like, our agitation can be God's nudging. Like, God can be calling you into that. Like, if you ever walked in and the greeters weren't quite that nice or as nice as you thought they should be. And again, at Grace, we have tons of greeters and they're nice, but maybe you had an experience. Maybe you had something happen and the kids' ministry didn't hit you the way you wanted it to. That, like, what's that thing? What's the thing that kind of bothers you about the church? Because God could be calling you into the area that bothers you. If you could wave a magic wand and you could solve one issue, what would it be? What bothers you? And then the last question, the fifth question is, what opportunities are in front of me right now? What opportunities are in front of me right now? Because these four questions are really good to kind of help us figure out, okay, an idea of where we want to go. But we really have to start somewhere, right? That's the idea of starting somewhere. That if you feel like God is moving in a direction, one of the best things you can do is jump in, get plugged in, get involved, and then figure it out as you go. God has a way of developing your skill set and working in you and helping to lead you where you want to go. But you got to get on the field. The way to figure out what position you're going to play is you got to get on the field. When I first started in ministry, when I was 21 years old. And I moved with some friends down to Fort Myers, Florida from Indiana to start a church down there. And I didn't know much about ministry. I'd only been saved a couple years, but just figuring it out, didn't know much about ministry. So I was 21. And I remember the first hospital visitation I went on. And I went there because I felt called to ministry. And I'm like, well, I'm not sure hospital visits are going to be my thing, but I'll do it. I'll go. And I said, I'll go to the hospital. And so I go to the hospital. Well, and let me just say this. Hospital visitations are still not necessarily my thing. Let me tell you why. Because if I come visit you in the hospital, like if you're sick and I come visit you and that you tell me what's wrong with you, I'm like, whew, sounds like it's over. Like, oh man, that sounds bad. I am not, like, I don't have like a lot of empathy. That's not my gift. We have a guy in South Tampa. His name is Brian Tobias, Pastor Brian. That guy, you want to go to the hospital. I will go there and I have no hope for you. I'm like, well, let's just pray because it sounds like it's over. Who do we need to call? Like, it's not it. Like, I don't have, like, God's got it. That's not me. I don't think he can do it. It's gone. I don't know why in the hospital, but the first hospital visit I went on, I went there and I knocked on the door and they said, come in. So I opened the door and I came in. I walked in and their eyes all got big. I'm like, what's happening? Well, there was a lady on the bed and they had her covered up where she needed to be covered up, but they were obviously giving her a sponge bath. And so I did what you do in that scenario. I said, hey, I'm Mike from the church, and I knew you were sick, so I came to pray for you. And then I walked over to her, and I put my hand on her bare shoulder, and I proceeded to pray for her. And Lord, this is so awkward, and this, and I prayed for her, and she did not come back to the church. I never saw her again. It didn't work. It didn't happen. And you know what? That was great, but there was an opportunity in front of me. What's the opportunity in front of you? What's the thing in front of you right now? And I would say this, I would even give room for God to speak something to you that you would not intuitively think is for you. One of the areas for me that I served in that I really didn't think God would ever call me into, I served for a couple years in kids ministry. And for me, I didn't think kids ministry, like, let's work with adults, not kids. And I wasn't sure. But when I was in kids ministry, God birthed a passion for the kids ministry for me. And one of the things I learned in kids ministry is before the age of 13, your spiritual foundation is largely set in place. Like before you're 13, it's clay. After you're 13, it's a statue. And what I learned was if you want to shape the spiritual foundation of a person and help their spiritual lives, work on the kids side of it all. And now for me, I was in kids ministry for a couple years, and to this day, I remain extremely passionate about what God wants to do in the next generation, because there was a season where I stepped in when there was an opportunity in front of me. What's the opportunity in front of you right now? If you don't know exactly, my encouragement to you this weekend across all the campuses is just start somewhere. So, the thing I love about Grace Family Church and getting involved in serving is that we want you to be in a place that you're passionate, that you love, that you're engaged, but we also do not want you to get burnt out. That's why for us, we do you serve 1 month on, and then you're off for a month. You're either on even months or you're on odd months. You come and you serve one service, and then you attend a service. Because for us, we want it to be realistic for you, sustainable for you, that you can do what you are passionate about. So pull out your phones and if you don't have your phones out already, because we're going to text to serve, but I will say this. Let me say this. Some of us feel like, I'm just so busy. Like, how can I do it? My life's so busy. Well, probably the best illustration for this, honestly, is that some of you know this, but Coach Tony Dungy attends Grace Family Church. Next weekend, he and Pastor Craig are doing the message for Super Bowl weekend. So you missed it. You came to the wrong one. You should go to his week next weekend and invite people, because if you've ever been waiting to invite someone to church, invite them to church when they're going to be on Super Bowl Sunday, when they're going to be talking about football and talking about the Super Bowl next weekend. But Coach Dungy and his wife, Lauren, they both serve here at Grace Family Church. Like weekly, they serve here at Grace Family Church, okay? And they have lots of kids with a lot going on. They travel, and as you can imagine, the demand on their time is great. But for them, they've decided, hey, this is a priority for us and our family, and they make it work. So if you're busy, I understand you're busy, but hey, some of us, we have to make it a priority to get plugged in, because God made you on purpose and for a purpose. And so on the screens, there's a number that you can actually text serve to learn about the different opportunities. It's 813-265-4151. You can learn about all the different opportunities to serve, because we want to help you get in and to get involved, okay? Now, that's all the questions, five questions. Let me just change gears for a minute before we close and hand it off to campus pastors. For some of us, today has to be the day. Grace Family Church, this doesn't happen without you. What God wants to do in Tampa doesn't happen without you. And it would be easy to look at all the campuses and go, it doesn't even feel like they need anybody. They got it. Listen, it seems that way. That's not true. We are a volunteer-driven organization, and we need people who are deciding that we're going to serve. You, when you're a part of the team, you help to make it happen. And our impact increases when you decide to get in. So it's time. This is your weekend. This is your time. Don't pull back. Everyone else can do it. This isn't the time. Let me just push you a little bit. Come on. We need you. Come on. It's time. We've been missing your part of the body. We need it now. We need you to get more involved. We need you to plug in. We need you to find your place, because what God has for Grace Family Church is too great for you not to be a part of the body. Come on. So we need you to be part of the body. So right now, just start. Just start. Text serve. Just start. This is your moment to come in. This is your moment to do it. And each campus has their own specific area and areas that they could use you to jump in. And the campus pastors are going to let you know. So I'm going to ask the campus pastors to join me on stage as I turn it over to them back to the campuses.